Most of us have at least one thing we're passionate about. It might be knitting or golfing or cooking. For Terry Schmidt, it's gourds. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today for this edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Terry Schmidt, our gourd gal, loves growing them. She turns them into amazing works of art afterwards. She's the founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. Happy to have her with us today. Terry, welcome back.
Larry, it's good to be here.
I love having you on because it's always so much fun to talk about gourds. And, you know, I'm going to start with the same question I ask you every single time when you're here is because I know there are new people who are listening who may not know. First of all, what exactly is a gourd?
Well, a gourd is a member of the squash family. It's a cucurbit. So your pumpkins, your zucchinis, your cucumbers are all in the same family. It's a vegetable. It's the only vegetable that when it's mature, it grows into a almost a wood-like product.
Mm-hmm.
And so the key thing there is when it's mature, because you can pick a gourd a little bit early when they're green. And after it's dry, it turns into mush. So there is sort of a bit of a science to knowing when's the right time to pick it and when's not the right time to pick it. But yeah, it's just another vegetable. Takes up an awful lot of space.
Yeah.
Once it's in the ground, a lot of people say, oh, well, anybody can grow a gourd. But it's not as simple as that. You do have to have tons of room. You have to have lots of sunshine. You have to have a long growing season, which we don't really here in Wisconsin. Some are longer than others. Lots of water initially. Under the right, the right situation, you can do good gourds. And we're fortunate we're in a high spot in Blue Mounds where we sort of get the early spring and the late fall. And so we have a longer growing season, and yeah, so it works for us.
Yeah, and once they're in the ground, are they tough to maintain, or are they?
Well, gourds don't like weeds when they're small.
Uh-huh.
So for us, my husband is the gourd guy. He's really the grower. I'm not the grower. I don't really go out there. I look at him. He does all the work. But he pretty much keeps a very pristine garden initially. He tries to keep all the weeds down until the gourds are big enough to take care of it themselves. Initially, if we have a dry spring, he has to water. If we have too hot of a summer, he has to water. We have to watch out for bugs. Squash bugs and cucumber beetles can always be, they can ruin ruin a crop. So depends on the, so many things go into growing them, but they're not just a toss it in the ground kind of thing. If you have one plant or two plants, it's a lot easier. But when you're dealing with, 500 plants, then...
Which is what you guys...
Probably close to maybe more than that, 1,000.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Terry Schmidt, our guest, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, talking with her about growing gourds and about all the fun things you can do with gourds once you have them. You can join in with your own questions and comments. Do you consider... Are you interested in gourds? Like to grow them or interested in maybe doing it? What do you do with them once you have them? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 with your questions and comments. Or you can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. What I know that you gave me some information on all the different types of gourds, which there's bundles. But let's talk about getting right. What types generally would we consider for here in Wisconsin?
Well, the easiest to grow would be ornamental gourds. And so that would be the little spoon-shaped gourds that you see in the fall. They're usually very colorful greens and oranges and yellows and stripes and spots on them.
Mm-hmm.
They look kind of more like a carnival thing than an actual vegetable. Egg gourds, those are ornamentals. Those are very short season, 90 days. I don't think there's any gourd that's less than 90 days. And then the smaller hard shell gourds, miniature bottles, which is just shaped like a ball on the top and a ball on the bottom, but very small, maybe 3 inches, 3-4 inches. And Tennessee spinners, which are often used for ornaments. Those are very short season gourds. Most commonly, you see people grow bottle gourds, regular size bottle gourds, and they call them birdhouse gourds. Those are probably the most common. And apples, a lot of people grow apples. And those are all about 90-day gourds, so they're easy to grow. Very common.
And let's just talk about the garden itself. When does your husband start getting the garden ready or start preparing the garden?
Last year.
Last fall.
So we rotate every 4 years.
Okay.
And I'm going to say he probably plants roughly maybe it's 2 acres, maybe it's 3 acres.
That's a lot of gourds.
I'm not really good with, but I think it's probably a good 2 acres. And so he tills it in the fall and plants winter rye. So this year's area was tilled and planted last year already. And then as soon as he can till, he's going to till that winter rye in and let it set for a little bit to create some of its own natural manure, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And he direct seeds. So he'll, put the seeds right in. But he tries to do mounds. On such a large, such a large area, it's not like he's making little mounds like we would make for our cucumbers in the garden. He uses his tractor to sort of plow it, and it makes hills. And then he plants really in long, straight lines that are mounded. He prepares everything. And the one other thing is last year's garden, it's really important to clean that up because you get squash bugs and cucumber beetles that overwinter in that stuff. So you want to clean it up, all that vinage and everything. You kind of bundle it into a mass, let it dry, and then have a big bonfire.
It's really – and that's good advice, I think, for any garden. Whether gourd or not, it's good advice. Soil for a gourds, do gourds need a rich soil, or do they?
They'll grow in just about anything. They like, I'm told that they like a slightly acidic soil. I don't think we've ever tested our soil. We just put it in there. We have good black earth, we're pretty lucky. But if you think about where they came from, most likely they came from Africa. How did they get to the Americas? Thinking on it is that maybe a gourd just floated in the water. And there have been tests done where you can put a whole gourd in water and the seeds will remain viable for about 6 years. So it's entirely possible that that's how it got to, the mm-hmm. Americas or South America anyway, and then, moved up, however. And they probably originally weren't cultivated. I mean, when they got mm-hmm. to the Americas, something broke open and one or two of them grew. And it's not like you're always going to get that. But even for us on the farm, where he cleans the gourds in the spring, he'll put the broken ones in a pile. And the following year, we'll often have volunteers. So it doesn't have to be a cultivated plant. Yeah.
Wow. And if you're thinking about the biggest issues with gourds, are there is it the insects out there that could create problems? Is it?
Yeah, probably. There's so many parts that go into it, though. If you plant it in an area that doesn't get full sun, that's huge.
You're done.
If you like in Arizona, they plant in March, they're done by July. Oh. And so, you have to go with the weather. The weather is such a huge factor. And then it all depends on what kind of gourds you want. If you want really thick gourds, you need really hot, long growing seasons. Yeah. Our gourds are on the thicker side of most Midwest gourds. We can get them in the, quarter inch to maybe half inch, not mm-hmm. quite half inch thickness. But quarter inch thick is a good gourd for us. And that's usually all you need, unless you're going to do some deep carving or whatever. But then, in terms of issues and problems, boy, bugs can ruin you. They can ruin you.
Okay. Yeah. Talking today with Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, about gourds. We've mostly talked so far about raising them, but we certainly want to talk about their uses. There are all kinds of ways to use gourds in many creative ways. I want to give Bindi in Menominee Falls a chance to join us. Bindi, hi. Thank you for calling. Are you there? Oh, wait a second.
Push. Hello?
There. Now we've got you. Hi. Thank you for calling.
How are you? Great show. I was wondering, I've been doing birdhouse gourds for a while, and I've been trying to get a varnish to stick on it. I put them outside, and I decorate them, put them outside, and the varnish all flakes off. What would you suggest?
So are you painting them also before you varnish them, or just varnishing?
I'm just varnishing them.
Okay. So I think gourds don't have a really good tooth. Even if you do a light sand on them, it's hard to rough them up enough to get a varnish, even a marine-grade varnish, to stick.
Yeah, so, I tried that too.
Yeah. So and really, if you think about it, the reason for that is because if you're making a birdhouse, you cut a hole. The inside of the gourd is very porous. The outside of the gourd is not at all. It's very hard. And so in our humid climate, the inside of the gourd absorbs the moisture in the air, and then that moisture is stuck between your varnish and the outside of the gourd, and that's why it peels off. So what I recommend is, I think the best thing to bring out the little idiosyncrasies and colors and markings on a gourd is a clear boot polish. So you can just buy that like at a dime store. Do they even have dime stores anymore? that's an old term, isn't it?
Oh my God. I think it would be Walgreens.
Yeah, but you could like at a World of Variety or at a shoe store. Definitely shoe stores have. And it's just like a creamed boot polish. And you can even get them in colors. And so if you used a brown, it'll enhance it even more. But if you just use the clear and shine it up, and then if it rains and it gets mottled or spotty, all you have to do is buff it again, and it brings it back out again.
Oh.
Well, yeah. That sounds like a wonderful idea. I thank you very much.
You're welcome. Right. Good luck.
Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. And we have a very cool photo on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And, oh, man, as you listen, you may want to go to my Facebook page. It's the Larry Mueller Show to see this painstakingly beaded gourd. Over the course of 2 years, her husband did this. It took him. Each design and symbol represents an aspect of his family.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Yeah. So this, there's actually a name for this process of beading. And normally you'll see it inside a gourd bowl. So they'll cut it into a bowl and then they'll bead the inside of it. And what they use is a beeswax that has a tar mixed in with it. And you line the bowl, or in this case, the outside of the gourd, with this wax, and then you place your beads into whatever your design is. I'll think of the name of this technique probably after I'm gone, but and it just all sticks in. So now there's this stuff called tacky wax that you can actually buy, so you don't have to mix the tar and and it's nice because you just kind of soften it up and put it on your gourd, and you can put these beads on. It is tremendously painstaking. I bought all the stuff to do this last year thinking I'm going to do something different, and I tried just a teensy weensy spot, like a quarter of an inch square, and threw it all back in the bag and said, I'm not going to do this. So kudos to him because he did an amazing job.
Yeah, Crystal, you got an amazing husband there. And those are small. I mean, those are not great big beads.
No, those are like size 11 beading beads. Those are teensy weensy beads.
Yeah. Oh, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, and then to make the, to have the design on there and so true to the design. I mean, those are pretty clearly, you can see the Thunderbird. You know it's a Thunderbird, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Neat.
Very neat. Terry Schmidt, our guest, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments, or we'd love to see some photos of your gourds as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, Terry Schmidt, talking about gourds. And, you know, there's some events coming up, too, that we want to talk about. And she does all this work. The other reason I want you to go to my Facebook page, and by the way, you don't have to be a member of Facebook to go to the page. It's a special page. Is to see another photo of a gourd that is absolutely, and that's your gourd, isn't it?
That's mine.
Nope. Yeah. Oh, turn on your mic there.
Yep, that's mine.
It is absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
Leaves are they? Mm-hmm. Are they the leaves of a what plant are they the leaves of? Or just whatever.
A tree. You know, honestly, I'm sure that I probably pulled them off of the property and then drew them several times before I started to draw them on the gourd. Yeah.
But it's unbelievable. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Thank you.
So we have, somebody already is saying, what was that varnish you were talking about?
Mm-hmm. It's just boot polish, just any boot polish. So, trying to think, what is the old name that
shoe polish?
It's shoe polish, but it's in the little can. It's not like the wet stuff that you.
Oh yeah,
but it's the little canned boot polish or shoe polish, right? Wax.
I would light it on. It would burn a little bit, and then it'd melt.
Oh.
And then it started to melt, and then I'd blow it out, and then you'd take it and.
Well, you didn't put it on your shoes while it was still lit, right?
No. But you got a really nice shine when you did it.
You did, but you know, the heat from your hands melts it plenty well.
Okay.
So if you just put a rag over your fingers and you rub and rub and rub in it,
okay,
then it melts it very well. The other thing you can use is creamed beeswax.
Beeswax.
And you can get that like at the woodworking stores. Comes in, it's called Brywax, I think is like the brand, mm-hmm, most common brand. And that works the same. It's just a clear wax and it protects the outside of the gourd.
But the plain old shoe polish in the round tin.
Yeah.
All right. Jennifer in Milwaukee. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm calling because my husband actually manufactures a product called Gilder's Paste.
Oh, yeah.
And gourd artists seem to like it because you can thin it out and it allows you to add color or a metallic color and still see the modeling of the gourd.
Mm-hmm.
So for the lady that was looking to add a finish, that might be an option.
Mm-hmm. And Gilder's Paste is a great product, especially if you're going to use it to color, like if you draw something on a mm-hmm. gourd, to use it to color. You can get tremendous control from it. The great thing about Gilder's Paste is it has no shelf life. So it comes in a little tin. It's a mineral spirit-based product. You can thin it. Or you can use it thick like a paste. You can brush it on or you can rub it on. You can use it in a million different ways. It dries out in the tin and just kind of turns into like a real hard, chalky substance. But you just add mineral spirits and it revitalizes it. So there's no shelf life to it. The thing about Gilder's Paste, though, is if you put it on a gourd, you still want to protect it because mm-hmm. it will scratch off. And so you need to put something on top of it.
Yeah, right? There you go. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. Liz in La Crosse, let's go to you next. Hi.
Hi. What a wonderful wet morning we have.
Yeah.
I had a question for your guest. Do you know anything about vertical gardening with gourds? And if so, which types do you think would work best besides not the real big fat ones?
Okay. They all have tendrils. They are a vine.
Okay.
So you can put any gourd on a trellis. I think if you're looking for something that's going to be really pretty, I think the most beautiful gourd plant is the luffah. Now, this is it's really hard to grow luffahs in Wisconsin because that's a 140-day plant. So if you don't care about the actual gourd and you just want something pretty, luffahs are a very, very dark green leaf with sort of silver overtones to it, variegated coloring like darks and lights. And then it has bundles of yellow flowers and then the I mean, I'm probably going to say it wrong. The female, I believe, is separate as one flower, and then there's a bundle of males. So it's a beautiful, and it's great to grow. It has to grow on a trellis, so otherwise the loofahs will rot. But if you do like any of the ornamentals, those will work. But also like the long-handled dippers, which is like just a long handle with a ball on the end, those on a trellis are tremendous because they hang down, and then it just makes the handle longer and straight and straight and straight. So, Yeah, so those are really good ones.
Like that.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Good
luck. Thanks, Liz. Appreciate the call. Denise, hi. Thank you for calling.
Sure. Hi.
Hi.
I was wanting to talk. Hi there. Yes, I wanted to talk about, I was going to collect gourds. I've been collecting gourds to make a nativity scene with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wanting, you know, I always wondered if I could use the birdhouse ones or what's the best one for that purpose. I was going to stain them and carve their, you know, the nativity scene and get different sized ones. And
mm-hmm.
Yes. And then stain them and then maybe use a varnish of some kind to cover them so that they're.
Okay. So you'd be sort of painting the nativity scene on the gourd. Is that right? Not using the gourd, or would you be using the gourd to many gourds to make the nativity scene? That's what it sounds like, I guess.
Yeah, well, I was going to do the starter one with, you know, like the tiny one I had for baby Jesus and then Mary and Joseph, and then beyond that, you know, as I went.
Okay, right. Okay. All right.
Right. So here's a little idea for you. If you have access to a way to cut them, and you can use anything to cut a gourd, but I've seen this and it's really pretty cool. If you take a larger gourd, maybe something like a basketball size gourd, a bushel, and you can cut it from top to bottom and open it up. Mm-hmm. And so then that becomes the, is koresh the word? Kresh? Kresh.
Mm, yes.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
the little barn, right?
Yeah.
And then you can make your people out of miniature bottle gourds, your little magi and Joe and Mary, and then your little Jesus can be out of a little tiny miniature. You can find miniatures that are only an inch big, and so then and you can even make a little crib thing out of it. It's amazing. I've seen creches made out of gourds, and they're just amazing. And even when you open up the big one to make the barn out of it, you can hinge that so that it opens and closes. It's crazy.
Thank you very much.
Good luck.
Yeah, it sounds wonderful. Appreciate your call, Denise. By the way, you can join in, too. Maybe you have a question or comment or an experience to share about gourds. I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. Lila in Algoma. Hello. Thank you for calling.
Hi, my name is Lilia.
Oh, Lilia. Sorry, Lilia.
No problem. I'm very excited about this phone call because I discovered gourds, about 5-6 years ago in Washington, D.C., and became just enthralled. We live in Algoma, and I came across a farmer's market where a woman was working on gourds, and it was just amazing what she was able to create from the smallest to the very largest. So I got involved with her and have had a terrific time to the point of where I even went to Indiana to buy gourds with her, and she buys gourds, like a ton of them. The incredible thing was what you can do with them, like you're cutting, you're painting, you're making designs, and she also does an awful lot of creative work, such as putting gourds on top of gourds, and it's really a lot of fun, and I think this is something that people would be very interested in discovering.
Lilia, and who's your, is your friend sell these professionally?
Yes, she does.
Mm-hmm.
And
at farmers markets, and she also has them available at different fairs.
And Terry,
and I keep mine because I've really like them.
Terry, I bet you know this person.
I might. You never know. I seem to know almost everybody that's involved in gourds. But you're right. There's so much that can be done with them, from putting more than one in a grouping and sculpting with them and connecting them and turning them into animals.
It's fascinating.
Or, yeah. There's just
right.
no end to
and
it.
The thing is, the various sizes that, you know, they come in, and you can just create anything you want. You can make a house within, you know, with little miniature gourds in it, making a chair, making a table.
Right.
And I've never seen anything like that done before, and I just wanted to share and say that it's an awful lot of fun, and it makes you feel special.
Yeah, well, we're glad to have you on board.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lily. I appreciate the call. And, you know, I wonder if she might could be a member of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. Somebody, Paul, wondered how many people belong to the society and how do you belong to the society?
Okay, well, we have a website, wisconsingourdsociety.org. We probably have, I'm going to say close to 150 members. We sort of fluctuate 150, 200, 150, 200. It comes and goes. Belonging is, it's $12 a year for membership. You get a quarterly newsletter, which usually has a highlight on one artist that's a member, or sometimes not even someone that's a member. We'll just find someone that we think is fascinating doing work with gourds. And then we'll have tips and techniques and often a project. Then we have classes throughout the year, and Gourd Society members get the classes at a discounted rate. And then, of course, our festival every quarter. So you can join online, or at least the form to join, I think, is online. And then we have pamphlets all over the place. So you can hardly go anywhere without seeing a Wisconsin Gourd Society pamphlet somewhere.
You know, I wanted to mention that the Wisconsin Gourd Society Annual Festival is next Saturday, April 12th.
Right.
Let's take a few minutes and talk about that right now. What's going on at that festival?
Okay, so this is our eighth year of doing a festival, our sixth year at Olbrich. So it's at Olbrich Botanical Gardens down on whatever street
Monona
that is.
Drive, is it Atwood
it's
Avenue?
It's Atwood Avenue, right, 3330 Atwood Avenue. Doors open at 9, it's from 9 to 4. So some of the things that we have there, we have a gourd art competition. And we judge the competition on Friday, and the ribbons are all out on Saturday. All of our judges are American Gourd Society sanctioned judges, so they've had to go through training classes on how to judge gourd art. We have classes. This year we will have three classes during the day. One is a new class that hasn't been offered, I don't think, in Wisconsin, so far as I know. It's called Washi. It's a Japanese paper art, and it's placed on gourds. And the woman that's teaching it, Deb Reddy, she has this technique that, you know, you cut the paper a certain way and then you fold it along the gourd, and it all sets very nice. And it makes some really beautiful egg-shaped ornaments. So we have that one. We have two lectures. One is a Thinking About Gourd Design by Wayne Otto. And Wayne does, he's local, he does Southwestern or Native American type designs on his gourds. Everything he does is in ink. And he's just an amazing artist. I've never seen anybody who can make anything so symmetrical. I don't know how he
does it.
I don't know. And you know, I never am able to take his lecture, so I will never know, because I'm always busy at the festival, so I don't see it. And then another lecture with Gary Qualheim talking about color. Now Gary is a carver, and he does carving classes, gourd carving classes throughout the year. He's really interesting. His mother, Ethel Qualheim, was a rose mulling artist, a very well-known rose muller. And he once told me that when he was younger, he really didn't care much for rose mulling. But when he started carving, he realized it was in his DNA. And so he has this, you can tell Gary's work because he has a certain flourish to the way that he does it. You can see that he grew up with rose mulling. And so he's going to talk about color. And he uses color in sort of a unique way. way on gourds. So he gets a lot out of color with gourds. And then we have a woman from Illinois coming up. Lynn Quinn is going to do a chip carving class. Mm-hmm. And so that is, I think that's going to be in the afternoon. And she's a very, very good teacher and an excellent chip carver. And then I'm going to be teaching a class on weaving on a gourd in the afternoon as well. All these classes are listed on the website, and there's a registration form on the website as well. So you can just grab that off of the website and send it in. And there is still room in all of the classes. And the two lectures are free. And so it's first come, first serve. However much seating, there's usually plenty of seating in there.
Well, I'm looking at a copy, and this is off the your website. Mm-hmm. So the really beautiful photos of a lot of the work here, the washi and the the decorating with color. You get an example, an idea of what Gary, you know, can accomplish, and the others. And your weaving is that your weaving? Mm-hmm. I bet it is.
Yes, it is.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
It is beautiful. So, some really, a really great opportunity for you to get involved with us as you listen to the show. I hope you'll go to the WisconsinGourdSociety.org. WisconsinGourdSociety.org, all one word.
Right.
Until you get to the .org part. And actually, we have a link on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So, if you're on there anyway to look at the photos that are turning up on my Facebook page, I hope you'll just click on that Wisconsin Gourd Society site and go there and take a look. We have open lines, so we can get you on pretty quickly. Somebody called and said it's kiwi shoe polish. I remember
kiwi. There you go.
I remember kiwi. Another person said, you know, there was another one that was called Shinola.
Shinola.
That was another one.
That's right. And then there's another brand that's called Malonin.
Malonin.
Malonin. And that's usually found in shoe stores. So
Malonin.
A little more.
And saddle
upscale.
Soap?
Upscale. Saddle soap. Saddle soap will work.
So,
yeah.
Bet
yeah.
you didn't think we'd be dealing with all these
we
shoe
have,
polishes
that's
today.
Right. That's right. We have a lot of helpful people out there.
You know, and I made a mistake, and Bill is correcting me on it, so I'm glad to do it. Gourds, like pumpkins and cucumbers and squash, aren't vegetables. They're actually fruits. They're actually fruits.
Yeah.
They're formed on the inside of the vessel, and that's a fruit. So we got to remember that. It's like tomatoes are fruits.
Right.
Even though everybody thinks of them as vegetables.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, email us at talk@wpr.org, or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. There's more, certainly a whole lot more to talk about relating to the, well, we talked about growing them and so forth, and I think we covered quite a bit there. But then we've got to the picking and the storing and the drying and the cleaning and the safety involved.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's tons.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff. You talked a little about when to pick, but
right.
It's
okay. So I'll go back to the beginning. So we work our soil in the fall. We plant in the spring. We plant pretty early. Very beginning of May, we'll plant. And then keep the weeds down. Make sure that there's lots of sun. Make sure that there's lots of water. Make sure that it's a weed-free environment. And trellised where you want to trellis. You can, if you want to, trim your plants so that the plant can focus more on one or two gourds, if you want. I don't know. I think maybe the gourd guy has done that once in a while, but I don't think he does it as a practice. My feeling about it is once you cut it, you open it up to bacteria. And so it's, you know, it's a kind of an iffy thing, especially if you have squash bugs or cucumber beetles are the ones that kill
you
the plants.
Don't
they
want,
ruin the plants.
Yeah.
So fall comes, you make it through the summer. Let's go before fall, though. You have pollination.
Yep.
So in July, you usually have your male and female plants. You can tell the difference between them if you look underneath the blossom, you'll see the female. You'll actually see the shape of the gourd, whatever type of gourd you planted. You'll see a little apple gourd or a little tiny bottle gourd. They're very cute. So the males and females all grow on the same plant, the blossoms do. But usually you get a string of the males first, and then the females will come off on side shoots. So you have to wait for them to come along, which is a story of our life, isn't it? You guys are always waiting for the girls. And so we pollinate by pulling a male off, and there's pollen inside the male plant, and then we tip it over the female and let that pollen get into the female plant. And usually...
do you do that for all of them?
He does it for a lot. He's out there for the month of July. Yeah, he's usually out there. That's what he does in July. Yeah, he hand pollinates a lot. And you can have two gourds next to each other, one pollinated and one not pollinated, and you can visibly see the difference in the growth rate. Mm. And, you know, and of course, the one that's not pollinated, not hand pollinated, may get pollinated somehow, but you know, yeah, it's iffy, and then you don't know if it's going to be a healthy gourd or whatever. So pollination is just a huge part of the farming process. There's nothing about growing gourds that's not manual. Nothing. There's mm-hmm. nothing that's not manual. So we make it through that part of the season, hopefully. By September, we're looking, or August, mid-August, we're hoping for not too much rain anymore.
Yeah.
Because at this point, they've grown, they've done all their growing, they're 98% water, they're big, and they're very, very heavy. And so we want them to start maturing and drying out a little bit. If it's too rainy too late in the season, it takes forever for them to dry, and sometimes they will rot as a result of just not having a chance to dry out at all. And so let's say that we're fortunate enough to make it through the perfect fall. We get usually first frost mid-September, late September.
Yeah.
So we get that first frost. And at that point, usually the plants are starting to die back, but they might not be all brown, the plants themselves. So you can pick a gourd. And if you look at the stem, if the stem is brown, that's a start. But the inside of the stem, when you cut it, needs to be brown. If it's green, it hasn't matured, it hasn't dried enough to be picked. And it doesn't hurt to leave them out. There are times when he'll leave them out in the field until December and then haul them all in later in the year because he's busy with farmers markets before then. It doesn't hurt to leave them. And then even when we pick them, we just leave them outside. We just gather them all up and put them on pallets near the barns, but they're all outside for the elements to sort of get to, and they help to break down the mm-hmm. skin and make it easier to clean them. So,
just leave them out.
We just leave them out. Yeah, we have some beautiful photos of gourds up on. He's got like these big wagons, and he's got them just all. Not piled on top of each other.
He doesn't pile them on top of each other.
He does.
Oh, he
does? When he gathers them all in. But these photos we have are just like all these gourds laying on these wagons, and they're covered in snow and just peeking out.
Ah!
Yeah, that's what our webpage, the front of our webpage, is at wisconsingourds.com. There's a picture of the trailer like that. It's pretty. It's a really pretty picture, yeah. So you can leave them out all winter and... You know, if it's a mature gourd, it's going to make it through the winter. You might have a few where the squirrels get to them or something. But, you know, we always think of it like if the gourd is mature and it's thick and it's hard, you know, a mouse or a squirrel they're not going to work too hard for their food. They're always going to go for the easiest stuff. So if they can get through it, they can have it. Yeah.
Linda has a question from Ashland. Linda, hi.
Hi. Say, I was wondering how the deer are with the gourd plants. Do they eat them? Do they like them? Or
yeah, they're pretty bitter. So once in a while we'll have a beer. I'll have a beer.
Yeah.
Once in a while we'll have a deer bite. And it's interesting because in the field when they're green, sometimes they'll come in and they'll take a nip off of one and you can see where they bit and the gourd will grow a little scab over it and repair itself. But we have never had a problem, and we have lots of deer out by us. We've never had a problem with them eating the gourds.
We have lots of deer here in town in Ashland.
Yeah.
Well, that might be something for you to raise there, Linda.
Yeah.
That sounds great. And then, you know, I was wondering, how do you have to water them much?
It depends on the season. You know, usually we try to let them go as much as we can. Sort of a way to tell whether they need water is at the end of the day, on a hot summer day, the plants will be pretty wilty looking because they're putting all of their moisture into the gourd itself, right? Mm-hmm. If in the morning they're still wilty, then you want to water. But usually from the night coolness and the dew, it kind of revitalizes itself, and so you don't have to. But, yeah, and I mean, once the plants get really big and they're covering the ground, then you probably don't have to water because they're keeping their own moisture in the ground by shading it.
Maybe that was so because I used to, in Arizona, there's a wild kind that grows called Cayute gourd.
Right.
And they don't get much water at all. And we used to pick those and make Christmas ornaments out of them. They're little round things. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today with Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. She's the Gourd Girl on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Glad to have you listening in for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller. We're talking about gourds today with our guest, Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, our gourd gal. You may have a question or comment or maybe even an experience with gourds, growing them. I'd love to see your photos as well. If you have some photos of your gourd art, we'd love to see that as well. And certainly your questions, too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. And got some more questions online, but I'd almost like to go back and complete the conversation we were having about getting the gourds through. We got them in the ground. Yeah, I think.
Okay, yeah. More about growing and picking and
just
stuff.
To get to the picking part of it. And,
right.
And the, yeah.
Right. Okay. So
after the picking.
Yeah. So, during the summer, like I said, he makes sure that we're pretty weed free, as much as he can bug free. Mm-hmm. We have a vegetable area of the farm that's very separate from the gourd area of the farm. And if the bugs get too bad, he'll do whatever he has to do to eradicate them. Mm-hmm. I won't talk about what we have to do, but, you know, we get rid of bugs. And so that is a very important part of things. We go through the pollination process, and then we go through the picking process in the fall. And then basically it's just pile them up and wait, right? Yeah. We wait until winter's over. Just in fact, this week, the gourd guy went up to one of the barns and was looking at some of the larger gourds. He sort of separates them. He has his miniatures in one spot and his very big ones in another and the common ones in another. I will say this year, like every year, he focuses on one kind of gourd, something that he might be running low on. And so this year he focused on Tennessee spinners, which are a very, very small, maybe 2-inch gourd with a little kind of bump on the top. They're mostly used for ornaments. And so he just planted like crazy. And there's a photo of him on his tractor on the back of the American Gourd Society's magazine, this issue. So the bucket of his tractor is filled with these miniatures. And then there are trash cans behind him that are filled with these miniatures. He easily has 20,000 of these little miniature gourds. And every day he would, you know, bring in his gourds and he would say like, oh my gosh, I think I've got about 3,000 of these. And then the next day, another 3,000 of these. And then the next day, another 3,000 of these. So we have tons of those. So he sets them out by the barns and just lets them go through the winter. And then this time of year, he starts going out to check and see how they're drying. The bigger ones aren't quite dried yet. They're still heavy. You can tell just by the weight if they're still carrying water. Other ones, you can just pick them up and they practically fly out of your hands because they're so light and they're ready to go. And so once the festival is done, he'll have a couple of weeks there between then and the time that he has to start planting. He'll do a little bit of cleaning of some of the dried ones. So when he cleans, he'll bring in a batch towards the barn, whichever barn he's going to work from, and he'll fill a garbage can with gourds. He'll just put all these dried gourds into a garbage can, and he'll fill it with water. He puts boards on top of the garbage
can to keep
them
under the water.
Keep them under, and then huge rocks on top of the gourds to hold the on top of the board to hold the board because they're so buoyant, you know, they'll come out. And so he fills it with water and then he pours in a little bit of bleach, just maybe a 5% bleach solution or something. Doesn't matter how much. It's just enough to help kill the mold a little bit. He lets them soak for 24 hours and then he goes out. And the first thing he does is he actually tests it to see if it made it through. So this is the get rid of the soft stuff process, right? And if it's got a soft spot, he tosses them. He's not going to bother cleaning them. And then he cleans them with a steel pot scrubber, like a chore boy pot scrubber. And he just gets all that mold and skin off. Some are easier than others. He's found that by having them in the field during the winter, that freeze and thaw helps to break down the skin and break down that mold a little bit. And so it makes it easier to clean them. And he just goes one by one by one, cleans them all. And then he just makes sure that they dry in the shade, because if they've soaked for a while, if it's very hot outside and you put them in the sun, they'll get little hairline cracks in them. So he dries them in the shade. Yeah.
We have, I have to check this out. We have another photo, apparently another really cool photo. We'll get to that in just a second. Rosemary wondered if any part of a gourd is actually edible.
Mm. Well, gourds when they're small, any gourd really when it's small, under 3 inches, 4 inches, is edible. The most common ones are it's called a long gourd or trichosanthes, is used a lot in Indian cooking, East Indian cooking. And they're usually used when they're about 4 or 5 inches long. It's kind of like a little zucchini. Looks almost like a zucchini. Loofahs are edible when they're small. If they get too big, then they get a little fibrous, you know, but they're edible when they're small. Gourds are very common in Asian and East Indian food. Very common. So,
well, I'm just going back to the Facebook page, and here is is that a gourd?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. It looks like it was probably a penguin gourd, or I can't really see up close. Maybe it was a Marenka gourd, and so they've turned it into a genie's bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty neat.
That's a good way to describe it. A genie's bottle.
Yeah.
And
a genie's lamp. Yeah.
Let's see. Alan sent a beautiful one. Joan sent one.
Right. Yeah. That's and right. I can't, is that, that's carved out in the middle, I think, isn't it?
Let me see if I can.
Yeah. So she carved like a little haunted house and put bats up on top. And yeah. Very nice.
Isn't that cool?
Yes.
I love that. And so it's an example, I guess, of all of the fun things you can do. Mm.
There's no end. It's amazing. It really is amazing. Gourds are very commonly used in... I've seen them in like Indian restaurants where they carve like a rounded gourd. They carve it into a lampshade.
Mm-hmm.
They put beads in it within the actual shape of the gourd. Uh-huh. And they're beautiful. They're really beautiful, yeah.
I tell you, it's absolutely great. I want to go back for just a minute here to your event that's coming up on the 12th of April at Olbrich Botanical Garden. Let's I'm going to go back over some of that information.
Okay. So besides the classes, there's a great area for kids. This is definitely a family-friendly event. Last year we did face painting, and the kids plant a gourd seed, and they get to take that home. And we have little projects where they have a make and take. They can make little necklaces with gourds and various and sundry things. They have a great time. The kids are there. And they have like an alphabet of gourds. It shows all the gourds. With, you know, by the alphabet. We have vendors. Usually we run about 15 vendors, and they will have gourd art of various types. So I can't even describe all the things, but everything from wood burning and drawing. We have some fantastic artists that come to this festival. Among the vendors this year, we have a new vendor, and I think his name is Thomas Adituck, and he does African gourds and baskets. So that's going to be a little bit different than normal. We have vendors that do sculpting on gourds, carving on gourds, just regular birdhouses. We have one vendor who is the husband is a fourth generation beekeeper, and she's a gourd artist. And so they do honey. They sell honey and gourds.
Oh.
And then let me see. There's some jewelry gourds and gourd supplies. There will be inks and stains and embellishments, all kinds of embellishments that you can put on a gourd. And of course, raw gourds. The gourd guy will be there with raw gourds. And then there, some of the other vendors also will sell raw gourds. And seeds, Livingston Seeds provides seeds for us for free. They give us a big seed display. And then we also have sponsors, which is very important to talk about. Maybe after the break, I can mention some of the sponsors and
so lots more. Going on there on April 12th at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison, the Wisconsin Gourd Festival. It's the 8th annual. And, of course, our guest today, Terry Schmidt, is going to be there, and she is going to be working hard, doing a lot of things, but making it an enjoyable event for you and for me. Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, with us on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. There are few plant families with more varieties than gourds, and in the hands of artists, they can turn into amazing pieces of art as well. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. We're visiting with Terry Schmidt. She is such a fan of gourds that she calls herself and has been called or is called by others the Gourd Girl. She's the founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society. We're always happy to have her with us today. With us any day. And Terry, great to have you with us today.
Thanks. It's great to be here once again.
I really appreciate her coming by and certainly interested in what you have for questions for her. Do you consider yourself a gourd girl or guy? Do you grow them? What do you do with your gourds? What would you like to do with your gourds? We'd love to see photos of your gourd art. We've got some up on my Facebook page right now. Absolutely beautiful works of art, and so I hope you'll go to the page, but I'm also hoping that you'll post some photos of your own on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And I want to go back to gourds because you have our types of gourds because you have a new gourd, at least a new gourd for you that you're working with this year.
We do. And I am going from memory right now. I think it's called Maloboule. It's kind of a weird name.
Oh.
Yeah. And I don't think that it's even on the list of all the things that I gave you. But it's a very cool kind of, if you think of a zucchini on steroids. So it's I think about 2 feet long. And so that's probably going to be maybe 4 inches in diameter, just like a long, long zucchini kind of thing.
Okay.
It's I'm told that the plants just put out tons and tons of gourds. And they're very hard. Now, we get our seeds from a woman in Ohio, Quarry Farms Gourds, mm-hmm. and Anna Miller is the grower. And she said it's just a crazy plant. It's a huge plant. She said the leaves are just humongous. I'm really looking forward to it. But my thought on it, and I've only seen photos of it, my thought on it is there's a musical instrument called a wiro. And it's long and it's serrated, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of gourds are used as wiros. And then you use a stick and you go back and forth along this serrated section and you get a raspiness. It's very, very common in percussion, in like Latin music and that kind of stuff. And so I have a feeling that malabules are probably the most common gourd that was used for those a long, long time ago. I've never seen them grown here, so I'm very excited about this.
It sounds like, I'm just coming back from Hawaii, it sounds...
It does kind of sound like it could be Haitian or Hawaiian, but, or maybe African,
So now you make instruments.
We do. Yeah. Banjos. We have a banjo in our living room now. That was made by Scott Nickelbine, who's a local musician and banjo maker, apparently. It's very common, banjos, guitars. We've had a fellow come to the market and choose specific gourds to make guitars, and he makes just beautiful instruments. There's another guy that comes to the market and makes ukuleles out of them. I've made a Native American-style flute out of it, and it has beautiful sound. I know a guy in Arizona who makes Native American-style flutes, and he connects more than one gourd together so that you can actually do like two flutes at the same time. Violins can be made out of them. Of course, percussion, shake arrays, and there will be shake arrays at the festival, I'm sure. And drums, we make drums with them, and of course, wiros and any kind of shaking thing. You know, so
my daughter's big into she loves drums, and so she's taking drum lessons. She's in she's a fifth grader, so she's in her fifth grade the orchestra at school, and she plays the drums. And so I was thinking, it'd be fun to have a gourd drum for her,
or do a drum class, so she can make her own.
Do you teach drum class?
I do.
Oh,
yes, in fact.
In fact, we should talk about your classes.
Okay.
Because in addition to the event coming up on the festival coming up on April 12th, throughout a lot of the year, mm-hmm. you're doing classes.
Mm-hmm. I have tons of things going on. I always have tons of things going on. But let me just follow up on that drum class thing, especially for maybe that age. I do classes for groups, mm-hmm. specifically maybe a birthday party.
Yeah.
Right? So if she wanted to have five or so kids to make a drum, each one of them make their own drum. Right? I do classes like that for groups or for, women will call me and say,
fun.
I want a, women's retreat weekend or something like that. So I do that. Among the classes that I'm teaching coming up in May, I'm doing a rain stick. That's a really, really popular class. It's very fun. It's a full day class, but you do come out with a functioning rain stick. And it's a very interesting thing. And those are made with a snake gourd.
And what is a rain stick? People are saying, what the heck's a rain stick?
A rain stick is kind of a musical instrument. It can be used as a musical instrument. Sometimes you'll see these Latin groups, and they'll have small versions of them, and they'll shake them. But rain sticks originally were used, my understanding is, in the Native American community, that it was used as a ritual instrument,
uh-huh.
and it was used for fertility, corn fertility.
Yeah.
And so they would go out to the fields where they planted their corn, and then they would do this rain stick dance. So what we do with rain sticks is we take a snake gourd, cut it in half, clean it out. We cut it in half, like in the middle, clean it out, and then we put many, many skewers, really barbecue skewers is what I use. We poke them into the gourd. And then we put beans or peas or lentils inside, and we put it all back together. And when you tip it, it really does sound like rain. It's amazing.
I can almost hear it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty interesting. A lot of times you'll see rain sticks made out of cactus also. They'll use cactus that's been smoothed out, obviously. And then they use some little BBs or peas or whatever to,
So that's one. And right. We'll get Stella. Let's get Stella on and we'll come back to some of the other ones as well. But Stella and Sturgeon Bay, thank you for calling. Hi.
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 I have a question. Listening to your conversation has inspired me with the idea of doing artwork on gourds with a medium that involves using a thick white glue that takes 24, depending on how thickly it's applied, it can take 24 to 36 hours to dry.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is a gourd suitable for using a glue like that, or would it soften it too much in the process of drying?
No, it won't soften the gourd. Yeah, are you talking about, so the glue is going to be on the outside of the gourd, and then are you using the glue like as a molding agent? As a fixative for the medium. And what's the medium?
I'd like to try it first.
Oh. Okay, so no, the glue should not soften the gourd if you have a good gourd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. All right.
Good
thanks.
Luck. Thank I want to know what that is.
Okay. Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thanks a lot for calling. Stella's keeping it under her hand a little bit.
Yeah, she is.
In the meantime, I went back to our Facebook page, and here's a cute idea. From Joan from Black Earth Gourds in McGuanigal, Black Earth Gourds. She sent these photos all... The tops are removable. These are like a ghost.
Right.
And you can put a sort of little battery-operated light inside for this for Halloween.
Right.
But what a cool idea.
Yep. Yeah, these ones are really cute, and it's very common in the fall, of course, to see gourds everywhere. And so having them carved like that. And so if you're not looking at the Facebook page, or if you're not able to look at the Facebook page, the inside of the gourd is carved out, but it's the part that's carved out is actually carved into a design of ghosts or sort of a basket weaving shape. And so you can put a nightlight on the inside of it, and it'll make those little images spook out at you. Sort of. Those are really cute ones.
Really, really cute. Oh, thanks for sending that photo, Joan. Yeah, it's a great job. You should. I hope everybody has a chance to take, or many people have a chance to take a look at it. I think we've covered most of those. You can join in with your own questions or comments or your own photos. Send it into my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, or call us at 1-800-642-1234 with your questions or comments. So that gourd rain stick, by the way, making that is Saturday, May 17th. So.
Right, and that'll be out at our farm. So then other classes that are coming up in June, there's a wild weaving gourd basketry class at Cincinnati. Cincinnati Mound Center, if you've never been there, is just a beautiful, beautiful area. Very, very southwest corner of Wisconsin. They have a nice little labyrinth that you can walk around outside. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati also is the host site for our biennial Gourds and Baskets Conference, which is going to happen this year. It's always in October every other year. And so at that conference, I think it's like maybe the 12th and 13th, something like that. At that conference, we have basket classes, 2 full days of basket classes and 2 full days of gourd classes. And there's a place to stay overnight there, and they feed us. And that's a really great,
really nice,
great event. And then in July, there's at the Kickapoo Valley Reserve, I'm doing a class on making gourd jewelry. So we'll do pins or pendants. In August, there's a wood-burning class at Shake Rag Alley. And in September, we'll do jewelry again at Cincinnati. And then in between there, also, there is the Northwest Illinois Gourd Festival, which is the weekend of June 14th. And this is at Council Hill Station, which is kind of a new place. She's trying to really make this work. And so there will be gourd artists there, most of them from Northwest Illinois, but I'm going to be there. And then there's another one that's not listed on this that recently contacted me, and I'm really excited about it. It is in La Crosse at the International Gardens. Are you familiar with that?
La Crosse, the International
I think it's La Crosse, International
Gardens. I don't know. We should probably, Judith, we should get somebody on and interview them sometime.
So they're trying to start up a festival, and so this will be their first year. And she said it was in, I'm going to say September.
Mm-hmm.
I think September at the International Gardens in La Crosse. Sounds like a beautiful place. So so that's going to be kind of an exciting new venue for me, anyway.
The Riverside. Oh, Judith says
River. Yes, something.
Riverside International Friendship Gardens.
Maybe that's it.
She's just she's lickety split when she gets.
Yeah, she is. She's good.
She's faster than the lightning.
No kidding. And then one other thing with the Gourd Society, we have patches, and so there's a patch in Teresa, Wisconsin. That happens once a month. And a patch meeting is just anything. You can bring gourds. You can talk about your art. If you're in the middle of a project and you're stuck, you can bring it. And there are other artists that will come and talk about it. New techniques. They're just little learning patches. And we have a new patch starting up in Chippewa Falls. A friend of mine from Tucson, whose father has a house in Chippewa Falls. And so she's going to start coming out in the summer, and she'll have a patch there. And she's actually going to have a little gourd retreat there this summer. She's going to start out small, only six of us. But then if it works, then we're going to open that up and make it a little bit bigger. So, and their house is right on whatever that lake is there in Chippewa Falls, Chippewa Lake, maybe. So that's very exciting. So we have these little patches.
Think it is.
Is it? Yeah. I don't know. It's beautiful. I can tell you that.
Yeah. No, that sounds better. And then in the meantime, or in between, you mentioned that, a drum making class.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So you do other classes or events.
As they come up. Yeah. So I teach a lot like at Shake Rag in Cincinnati and Kickapoo Valley and at these places. And when I do those classes, of course, I'm always talking about classes. And so from those classes, most of the time, I'll get one or two classes of people who want me to come to them. And, you know, five women, they want wine and gourds. And so, you know, so I'll go and we'll do an afternoon class, and they'll have a little treat afterwards. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Stephen Appleton, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Hi, I got a question about when he plants the gourds, the seeds, like when he hills them up. Do you plant them on the top of the hill or down by the bottom, you know, where the rain would come down?
No, you plant them on the top. The idea is that the whole idea of making the hill is that you're giving an area where the soil is going to heat up faster in the morning.
Yeah.
And so if you make a hill that's maybe 18 inches around, you can put three seeds in a hill at the top of the hill.
Right.
And and then you can let all three of those, if all three germinate, let them all go. You don't have to separate them.
Because what I've done is put a pipe at the top of the hill, like a 6-inch round, and I fill that with water. Try that.
Yeah, that'll work. That works.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And before we go back to the phones, again, the number for you to join in, 1-800-642-1234. We didn't touch on safety, and as I remember, there is a little bit to at least consider.
Yeah, thanks for remembering that. That safety is so important with gourds. There are, to me, the two most important things. The mold, when they're drying. So when you dry your gourds, don't dry them in your house. Don't dry them in your basement. And if your garage is attached to your house, don't dry them in your garage because there's mold on them. They're water. They're filled with water. And it takes 8 months or so for that water to all evaporate. If you had water on your skin for 8 months, you'd be moldy too.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't want to be around that mold. It's not good for you. That's the one thing. And the other thing is when you cut them open, it's very, very important to use a mask. I use a double respirator. I look like an alien when I work on them, but I don't care because I really do get very sick when I cut them if I'm around that stuff on the inside. So the ball of stuff that's on the inside, the seeds and fiber, usually you can get the bulk of that out and it's, you know, pretty relatively harmless. It's getting to that point where you have to cut it and you're creating this dust, and that dust is made up of the fiber that's the inside of the gourd. It's a very fine dust, and a lot of people have allergies to it. It does carry a bacteria that we are open to all the time called Aspergillus. If you're exposed to it, we're exposed to it all the time. Our bodies naturally fight it. But if you're exposed to it in mass quantities for long periods of time, then you can get sick from it. So just the safest thing is to keep yourself away from the mold, have the mold outside where it belongs, let it dry, and then wear a mask whenever you're cutting them. Those are the two safest things. Also, if you're going to wood burn on them, you should at least have a paper mask over you so that you're not breathing in that smoke.
Sure.
Yeah.
So. Makes good sense.
Yeah.
Bob in Onalaska. Hi. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I had a couple of old gourds, some great big ones, and they've sort of gotten to be little like rattles. I was going to try to make a birdhouse out of them, and I just want to know how you do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And,
so
should I...
Go ahead. Should you?
Oh, should I sandpaper them all on the outside to get them smooth? Because they're sort of ugly looking right now.
So if they're ugly, meaning that they have like skin
like
that
dirt
flakes
on
off?
Them or something. I don't know what it is. It's sort of a dark color.
Yeah.
A real dark color.
Yeah. So you can probably soak that in water and with a little bit of bleach. That dirt is probably mold. And so let it soak overnight and then scrub it with just a steel pot scrubber to get it off. It should come off. If it's a pretty old gourd, it'd probably come off relatively easily. And then to make your birdhouse, so you said, should you sandpaper it? That's when going back to safety.
Yeah.
You don't ever want to, where the mold is, you don't want to dry clean them because that just puts it in the air. So better to do your cleaning the external part of the gourd with water, and it just kind of keeps all that mold in the water. To make your birdhouse, it's really easy. You want to use a hole drill bit. So your bit is actually the size of the hole. And the hole depends on what kind of bird you want to bring in. So let's say you want to bring in a wren, you can use a 1-inch hole drill. And so that will just drill right through the gourd. If you have a strong gourd, you should not have to worry about it cracking. It should drill right through the gourd. And then underneath the gourd, you want to make 3 small holes just with a drill for water to drain out in case water gets in it. And then put a hanger on it of some type.
Yeah.
And you get yourself a birdhouse.
Yeah, there you are. And thanks a lot for calling, Bob. Appreciate your call. Boy, this has been a lot of fun, Terry. I want to go back just for a minute anyway to remind everybody that the 8th annual Wisconsin Gourd Festival is coming up Saturday, April 12th. Not this weekend, but the next weekend. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. And people come from all over. I mean, they're just not Madison people there.
Nope.
I mean, from all over the state come to it. It's a wonderful opportunity to learn about gourds, to buy all the things associated with gourds, far as I can tell.
Yep. And if you do art, there's a competition. So you can enter your artwork on Friday and be part of the competition, and and see what other people are doing, which is really nice. We have music. We have local, 3 different bands that come throughout the day. We have local music. Like I said earlier, lots of kids' activities, and we have silent auctions and raffles, stuff that's been donated by some wonderful sponsors. This year we have a great donation of a wood-burning set, which is a $250 value.
Wow.
By Razor Tip. Yeah. And so we have some great sponsors and good stuff happening.
Lots of good stuff happening. And you can go to the WisconsinGourdSociety.org.
WisconsinGourdSociety.org, yes.
For information. And your site is WisconsinGourds.com. WisconsinGourds.com.
Right. So no matter how you do it, if you say Wisconsin and Gourds, you're going to get somebody that knows what they're talking about with it, right? Also, the festival is free. Parking is free. Getting into the gardens is free. I don't know if the conservatory is open yet, but course, there's a fee for that to go up in there. But otherwise, the rest is free, yeah.
Thank you so much. You'll come back?
Of course. Happy to. Thanks.
Love to have you back. Terry Schmidt, founder of the Wisconsin Gourd Society, and our gourd girl, and yours too. Stay with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.